interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Let's start tonight with Croatia. Listen to this. It's a McDonald's story. Oh, don't we all love a good McDonald's story? At a McDonald's in Croatia, apparently a woman walked inside a customer. She stood in line and commented to a few people that she was not feeling that well. By the time she got up to the counter, she was feeling even worse. All of a sudden, she grabbed her chest and she dropped dead right there at the counter at McDonald's. They called emergency services. It took them an hour and a half to arrive, so in the meantime, they just propped her corpse up in the corner, put a napkin over her head, and continued to serve the other customers. Why? I shouldn't be chuckling at that. So the staff there has been highly criticized for carrying on their work. Who knows what the atmosphere was like at the McDonald's, if it was just business as usual or something else. But McDonald's now has responded to the criticism saying, look, this is a little bit exaggerated. We actually cleared most of the people out of the store. We just continue to operate the drive-thru. That's all. So we'll see how this story develops, but that's straight out of some kind of dark comedy as far as I'm concerned. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Mr. Warren.
Are you hungry now?
I think I'm having a Mac attack.
Somebody had a Mac attack, a legitimate Mac attack. And, I don't know what you're supposed to do exactly in a situation like that, because you do want to satisfy the other customers, but, I mean, how would you handle that if you were the manager of the store?
I'd close down. I mean...
You would just say, look, sorry, folks. No more burgers, no more fries.
Yeah, like,
leave.
Exactly. It looks like they just put her back in the freezer and continued with business.
That reminds me of some other stories we have later tonight. But that said, Investigator Shelley Wright, you've been bursting at the seams to comment on this story as soon as I read it.
Oh, it was awful.
That's it?
That's the depth of your insight.
It was awful.
Well, here's the thing.
And?
You close the restaurant. You close it. Because, seriously, you have a corpse in the restaurant. There's a corpse.
You've got dead cows in the restaurant.
A corpse of a human being. You close the entire restaurant, including the drive-thru.
Well, honestly, the thing that I think is the most bizarre is not that they continued serving. Not even as so much that they propped her up in the corner, but they just put a napkin on her face.
That is pretty disturbing, yes. That's pretty disturbing.
That's the sadly funny thing about
yes.
this. Now, what's crazy is that it's okay for us to laugh about this because this was Croatia. If this had happened, like, in West Asheville or something, we would probably not feel comfortable joking around about it. And I don't think we're really joking about it.
No.
We're just acknowledging that there is something outrageously absurd about this whole scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that sets the tone for the program tonight. Because here we are in the latter half of the year 2012. It's only going to get crazier and crazier. You know, last week we just went, nonstop with stories, just a tsunami of stories, one after the other. And we're going to do something similar tonight. But hour two, we are going to take a little time for me to share something with you about the Church of Scientology. And this is a very interesting topic for a number of reasons. Of course, you know, we all know that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, they just got a divorce. And the word on the street is that Scientology played a role in this. Well, years ago, I interviewed a man on this program, a dentist from Missouri, who became a Scientologist. And he gave a one-hour interview about the process of getting into Scientology. He's no longer a Scientologist, but I think he easily said he'd given them like $25,000 or $30,000 by the time he got out, and they seem to be really, really, really good at getting money out of people. Later on, yeah, I'm just going to share with you a few interesting points about Scientology. And My role here is not to bash it, because I've never read any of the books about Scientology. All I've seen is the literature that's available on the internet, and I do have friends who've dabbled some in Scientology, but I have something to share with you that I think you'll find kind of funny. And given what we just talked about, you know, funny has many different dimensions on this program. Also, hour two. Of course, a few weeks ago, we did a segment with Kelly Griffin about sort of paranormal pop culture stuff. And I don't feel comfortable using that phrase without giving a nod to my friend Aaron Sagers, who owns the ParanormalPopCulture.com website. But it's still the best way to describe it. What's happening in the news, the TV shows, the movies. Kelly, you're kind of a paranormal media junkie, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you're going to give us a little update later on what you've been seeing in the paranormal pop culture media.
Right.
You've seen a couple movies lately. And what are the two movies?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, I saw that one.
The Watch.
I have not seen that one. I look forward to talking to you about The Watch.
Yeah, it's a very interesting take on an alien invasion.
Well, you know, speaking of media, in 2005, I did a program that aired. It was like a 2-hour special on TLC, the Learning Channel, called Possessed Possessions. And I bring this up from time to time. Basically, they put a set on the Queen Mary, the big ship out there in Long Beach, California. I know you've been there, Forrest.
Yes.
And we shot what you could sort of think of as an antiques road show for cursed and haunted items. The host of the program was James Van Praag, the noted medium psychic. And we had a couple other psychics. I was, you know, the techno geek guy with all the meters and stuff. And basically people would come in and they'd bring maybe some surgical tools from the Civil War, or maybe even a hearse or a creepy little possessed baby doll, or, you know, something like that. The psychics were sequestered, so the host would sit there with Ed Akonowitz, who is an author who wrote a book about possessed possessions, and they'd have a discussion about where'd you get this, what's the story behind it, and then the psychic, without any knowledge, would come in and sit down and give a reading, and it was often startlingly accurate. And then whenever we needed that extra oomph, you know, they'd call me in to take some measurements and see if something could be quantified. But anyway, the reason I bring this up, that was 2005. It was sort of shot as a pilot. It came out around Halloween, and yeah, it didn't really go anywhere. In fact, I think that one of the problems with the show is that it was a really, really staged production. I mean, it looked like some kind of 1980s thing. It was just, you know, the way the lights would go up and down, and it was just very, very mechanical how it all worked. And so, it never went anywhere. Now, there is this relatively new channel called Destination America. You guys know about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's owned by Discovery. And as far as I can tell, they're just kind of rehashing.
Discovery shows.
Yeah, they're rebroadcasting because they just have a mountain archive of stuff there. They still have never aired X-Ops, mind you. But anyway, so this has been running lately on Destination America, and I wouldn't know about it if people weren't saying, oh, hey, I'm watching you on Possessed Possessions right now. So this morning I got a message from a woman saying, I'm watching you, and so I turned it on, and there it was. And I started watching Possessed Possessions, and I realized that, you know, this show was way ahead of its time, because now you've got like 50 different shows out there that are more or less the same kind of concept. I mean, whether it's Pawn Stars or Pickers or even Storage Wars or Baggage Battles or Hardcore Pawn or Picker Sisters I mean, it's all about this. It boils down to the same thing. Let's bring an item in here and let's evaluate it and see what we've got. And of course, the grandparent of all this was Antiques Roadshow. But still, I think that Possessed Possessions concept, it's still a great concept. They just didn't do it right when they shot that pilot because it didn't look kind of edgy and up to date. I think it's time to revisit that. And I don't know if they're going to work on it or not, but I think maybe that's why they've been playing it more frequently, because it fits right in with all the other stuff that has become almost cliched now of the same kind, but there still isn't a program out there that has taken that particular angle. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know John Zaffis, and I still have not watched his program.
And Haunted Collector.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around. So, but it's probably a little bit different than what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We have a lot to dig into. When we come back, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a video out there, there are pictures out there, of a UFO that was spotted over the Olympics. I'm going to tell you about that. And also what a really stupid guy did to himself in Georgia. And, hey, we're just going
to start with, hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah. And then I'm going to find out if Shelley knows what chloroform smells like. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the extraordinary, the remarkable, the downright weird. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Yeah, it's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your evening with us as we all work on this together, navigating the weirdness of 2012. I'm sure seeing it manifest in my life, and I imagine we all are, but some maybe more than others. And there's no textbook for how to deal with a lot of the strange stuff. A lot of death is happening this year. We've talked about this, deaths of both people and animals, but especially animals. A lot of animals have been dying. And I think it may have to do with this general shift in frequency. And when I say it, it's easy to think like, well, that's just some kind of new age crap. What do you mean a shift in frequency? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about here. And this is something that I brought up in my my special about 2012. And I'm actually looking up something right now on the net because I want to make sure that I have the... okay, I wanted to make sure I was right about the year. Last year, 2011, the Nobel Prize for Physics, which I presume is probably the greatest prize you could ever receive for anything mental. And the only reason I say that is because, there are different categories. Like, you could be a war hero or something and save the world. But if you're smart, I can't think of anything bigger than the Nobel Prize for Physics. And it went to a couple of guys who proved what we have theorized about for quite a while, that everything in the universe is accelerating. Everything's speeding up. And you know when you're in your car and you're driving down the road, what happens when you start pressing that accelerator and you start going faster? Things start to vibrate faster. They get bumpier. They get rougher, and that vibration gets so crazy. It reminds me of that scene in The Right Stuff when Chuck Yeager finally breaks the sound barrier. And I mean, it's, the whole thing is rattling. You can tell the reason the guy had the guts to do this is because he had decided, I'm either going to die or I'm going to do this, because that's the only way you're going to continue when your gauges are breaking and popping and everything's, vibrating so fast you can't see what's going on. So that's what's happening. Our universe is accelerating. This is not some kind of new age mumbo jumbo. All the particles are reaching this critical point where it's shaking all the matter to a point that we're separating certain layers. And it affects organisms in various ways, because we like to think of ourselves as being physical creatures, but obviously we're more than that. We're physical and non-physical. I mean, that's why that we can have this conversation right now, and right now my ink pen isn't saying anything that I can understand. We've talked before about maybe everything has some level of consciousness. I tend to think that. But still, the universe is speeding up, it's accelerating, everything is separating, and that's one of the reasons that certain layers are dying off, and there are certain stresses that organisms are not able to withstand. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can watch online the program I did about 2012, no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. And, of course, a lot of people have thought for a long time that part of what 2012 is about is shifting the frequencies, not just so that it sort of causes problems for us on the lower end, but also brings us closer to things on the higher end. What some might think of as the divine, or the extraterrestrial, or the interdimensional, an evolution of mind and spirit. And so, there was a prediction, apparently, that was put out there. I think it might have been Nick Pope, whom I've interviewed before, who was in charge of the intelligence for the UK there for many years. I think that he may have been one of the people who predicted that there would be some kind of UFO activity surrounding the Olympics. Have you guys been keeping up at all with the Olympics?
A little bit.
Anybody see the opening ceremony?
No.
Very strange. I'm the only one here who saw the opening ceremony. Very strange, but I won't get into that.
Kelly's mother called and said we should have seen it. I said, I don't remember what happened with it.
Yeah?
The opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had, you know, a filmmaker produce it. The same guy who did Trainspotting and some of these other kind of, you know, psycho films. And it was very, very weird. They had like a 100-foot-tall Voldemort from Harry Potter there. Very creepy. And then they had like 100 Mary Poppinses come floating down holding umbrellas. And then toward the end, they had what looked like a huge... I'll be honest with you. To me, it looked like a dead baby laying on some kind of a slab or something. It was very, very weird. Go check it out if you haven't seen this. But anyway, here's this story from the Huffington Post. It says here, UFO over Olympics opening ceremony. The spectacular pyrotechnics display of the most watched opening ceremony in Summer Olympics history attracted the eyes of over 40 million people. A clearly seen unidentified flying object was videotaped making its way over London's Olympic Stadium. I've seen pictures of this. I'm sure we'll have something for you at speakingofstrange.com. Mr. Mobius has been looking intensely at all this. Now, of course, the logical thing would be to say, well, maybe this is a blimp or something that was doing aerial photography, but at this point, nobody seems to be, you know, sure what we're looking at here. And so for now, it's a UFO, an unidentified flying object over the Olympics. Here's a story from Augusta, Georgia, a little closer to home here, which, by the way, I will say, you know, I stopped in London, and when we did our trip to Europe, Shelley, you went through Heathrow, but on my way back, I actually spent a little time in London. I talked about it here. And how surprised I was at how filthy a lot of London was. And but I was told that they were cleaning up London a lot just for the Olympics. So hopefully that has been done.
I hope so.
Yeah. I would not want to be there right now for the Olympics. Man, that would, what a headache. Augusta, Georgia. A Georgia man is in the hospital, and he's in critical condition because of a bet at a local bar. Says here that this guy, in a, again, I shouldn't be chuckling about this. In this bar in Georgia, this guy had a bet going, and it appears to me, from what I can tell in the story, they videotaped this. Which, you know, that's the great thing about bar bets anymore. Somebody's always going to videotape them. It wasn't like that in the old days. You do something drunk and stupid in a bar, yeah, it's just a story. Now, people are like, hey, let me show you what happened.
And everybody has a phone.
They give you a little reel. And so anything you do in a bar, fair game, right? So this guy apparently had a bet going saying that he, somehow or other, who knows how it worked out, dared his buddy to pour a shot of rum on his head and set it on fire.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Oh,
and it says right here in this story that he looked like Ghost Rider from the movie. And that, you know, the guy, obviously, you know, he didn't understand the extent to what this was going to do. They start beating him to put the fire. That's even worse, right? Your head's on fire, and now they're beating the fire off of your head. Anyway, yeah, critical condition the guy is at the hospital in critical condition. It's pretty awful, isn't it? You ever done anything really stupid in a bar?
I don't think so.
I've taken little bar bets, but I've never done anything that crazy. I did, however, videotape a friend of mine eating like a big Ziploc baggie full of the world's hottest peppers. That was fun. I didn't have one. Okay, we're going to take a break, and like I say, we're going to find out if Shelley knows what chloroform smells like, And, then we have a story from our favorite place, Florida. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Imagine how much it sucks when it's winter time and there's snow everywhere and maybe your power's out. You can't go anywhere. Everything's closed.
Boo.
Yeah. And hey, it's summertime now. It's time to get out, enjoy the weather. Of course, who knows? Who knows what the weather's going to continue to be like from here on out? It's getting weird. The weather's getting weird. People can debate it all they want, all this climate change and all this talk about global warming and global cooling. All I can tell you is that you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen. It's unpredictable. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit cool the past couple of days here, wouldn't you say? I mean, compared to how hot it was
True. For
a while there, you just can never tell. So, yeah, you know, we're talking a little bit about the media, paranormal media, and during the break I was talking with Kelly Griffin some about paranormal paparazzi, and pretty soon the Travel Channel should have a section of their website that has all the official information, and so I don't want to talk too much about it before that, but there have been some tweets put out by Zach Bagans and Aaron Sagers, and one of the things that was mentioned was Will Ferrell's haunted trailer, right? And Will Ferrell has this new movie, I think it comes out this month, called The Campaign.
Yep.
Comes out the 10th.
And that movie was shot in New Orleans, and it was originally called Dogfight. Also has Zach Galifianakis, and apparently, when Will Ferrell was down there in New Orleans, he encountered something ghostly. So one of the stories that I covered was this story that, you know, I was in New Orleans for a while, and I covered various things down there, but that was one of them. So a little hint, a little preview, but keep in mind, Paranormal Paparazzi is supposed to debut on Friday, September the 28th. That's the new TV series that I worked on. We're planning to do some kind of a party here, probably at the Wild Wing Cafe here in Asheville on September 28th. But even sooner, on August 24th, is when The Apparition is supposed to debut, and that's the big Warner Brothers production that that, well, Shelley and Forrest and I and, gosh, C. Eric Scott and Dean Worsing and Joe Southards and Kuka and Mobius and we all came together and worked on this and did some crazy experiments. And pretty soon I'm going to start talking about those experiments, you know, which that's something we've been holding off on for years as well. So a lot of cool stuff is going to be coming out here over the next month or two. Shelley, do you know what chloroform smells like?
I've heard that it smells sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that it smells sweet, but I do not have any firsthand knowledge.
Do you want to smell it?
No.
Smell my hat.
I don't want to smell your hat. I know where your hat's been.
Smell my finger.
No.
I went to school with this filthy guy, and he would just walk up to you in the hallway and say, "Smell my finger, dude." I was like, "No, I'm not going to." I bet. Do you know what chloroform smells like, Kelly?
Yes.
What does it smell
like? Like anesthesia. That's all I can, you know, because I worked in the hospital for 10-plus years, and so I smelled. You know, it has that anesthesia smell.
Yeah.
You can kind of smell it and taste it, I guess.
I've been under anesthesia, and I don't know, I don't recall.
It's been a long time for me.
Yeah.
So in Wake Park, Minnesota, police there are searching for three suspicious individuals who are asking women to smell a rag in parking lots. Oldest trick of the book. Says police received a complaint from a woman who said she was approached by another woman in a parking lot. And the suspect asked the woman to smell some perfume. And when the woman agreed, the suspect pulled out a rag and asked her to smell that. So the woman refused to smell it and entered a nearby office building. And while inside the building, the woman and another man inside noticed the culprit trying to do the same thing to an additional woman. They also found that there were two men who were hovering around in the immediate area, and police believe that nobody actually smelled the rag.
There's been no reports.
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet. Okay, that's just odd, huh? I mean, that can't be good.
No, I'm sure there's a kidnapper van close by, too.
But, well, you know, it's like, what an easy thing. You know, Ted Bundy, he used to go around with a tire iron, basically, and just crack women in the back of the head. Yeah. That was his, you know, suave way of taking them. And then he'd just drag them into his modified VW Bug and with the seat removed. And, you know, I saw that Bug last year in Washington, D.C., and which was a very creepy thing to see. But I thought to myself, wow, you know, what a messy, crude operation. Everybody talks about how intelligent that Ted Bundy was. And, I mean, I guess compared to the average guy who just goes running, you know, into a gas station with a gun or something, yeah, I mean, I guess he was smart. He got away with it for a long, long time. He escaped from jail, et cetera, et cetera. But it was always weird to me that that was the best method he came up with. Just crack them in the back of the head with a tire iron. And, I mean, you'd think that he would have some drug, some chemical. It becomes a very messy, bloody thing, but maybe that was part of the pleasure for him, just the brutality of it. I don't know. Weird stuff. How about this one? Here's from Orlando, Florida. You know, I was in New York earlier, and I saw some Broadway shows, and I saw the Book of Mormon. And if you see the Book of Mormon, the city of Orlando takes on a new meaning. I won't try to explain it, but for those of you who have seen the Book of Mormon, you know when I say Orlando, what I'm thinking about. A man in Orlando, he's in trouble. He's facing charges. His 5-year-old daughter was misbehaving at church, so he just dragged her out, threw her in the trunk, and went back into church. Church of the Nazarene. And a witness saw this and called 911. And, of course, they came and they removed the girl from the trunk. They say at the time of the incident, it was 97 degrees. Mm. Who knows how hot it was inside the trunk? That's horrible, isn't it?
Terrible.
Think of, like, your dad. You know, it's like, how helpless are you when you're 5 years old and your dad throws you in a trunk in Orlando, Florida, when it's almost 100 degrees and just slams it shut? Wow. That's pretty bad. Let's see, what do we have next? Oh, how about this one? This is a story from Sarasota, Florida. They're just piling up. I know you probably think that I'm just looking for Florida stories because I have this little bell here. Not true. Not true.
I have a friend that lives in Florida, and he posts the stuff that constantly, just every day, is happening down in Florida.
Oh, everything that's happening in 2012 is like concentrating.
Yes.
On
Florida.
Yeah, on the, I guess you'd call it a peninsula. On the peninsula of Florida, everything is condensing. And, yeah, Sarasota, okay, imagine this. You go to the hospital there. You come out of the hospital, and it turns out that you have $1,186 in bills on three of your credit cards, paying for things like shoes, phone bills, airplane tickets. How could this happen? Well, while you're there, helpless at the hospital, one of the emergency room workers is taking your credit cards out and going on a shopping spree. That's what happened in Sarasota, Florida, apparently. They say that there was a woman working there, and she was just taking credit cards from people who were laid up in the hospital and going out and having a field day. She's been arrested on a warrant for identity theft and 7 counts of credit card fraud. Good thing they caught her. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, let's see, this is a story from Texas. One of these really dumb criminal stories, those are always fun. And also about a guy in Russia who believes that he has figured out how we can really, truly live forever. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. We'll be back to continue the madness right after this.
Well, my name's John Lee Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town of...
The festival van with the horn that's honking like a mariachi band. In the middle of the street, people gather around. Dollar in the tent, I wait. Chaos, the DJ cowboys hang around. Sleeping in the sidewalk with a Burger King crown. Never wake them up. Massive incident to the rooster crows. Vatos de gallos. Blancos roll with crowbars, tingle and chivas on cheap guitars, abuelitas with plastic bags, walking to the church with a Spanish candle. Billy Barato says, que putas, and the lejoto, your popsicle's melting. Under the run, the two of them run, in the bed of the sun.
For in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about Scientology. Just some interesting little things that I found that I thought I would share with you. Especially since, it does continue popping up. You know, obviously with this Tom Cruise divorce from Katie Holmes. I mean, it's been a little bit more in the media lately. But one of the reasons that I want to bring it up is because I found part of a movie, an orientation video that they show you when you join up with Scientology. And it's not supposed to be made public, but it was leaked. And there are some, I think, some pretty funny parts that I'm going to share with you. But anyhow, I mentioned before the break here, we have a dumb criminal story from Lufkin, Texas. 52-year-old woman contacted the local police to report that she and another man, probably her boyfriend, they're saying, had been receiving threatening calls and text messages. One of the messages originated from a prepaid cell phone, and it warned them that they would be physically harmed if they went to the police. The woman, however, they call her Barbara, she was undeterred by these threats of violence and went to the authorities anyway. And she was even able to give them the name of her harasser, who had been stupid enough to attach her name to the prepaid cell phone purchase, making her very easy to trace. Now, right there, they say a red flag should have gone up. Why would someone go to the trouble of buying a prepaid cell phone card to harass someone, but buy it and pay for it in a way that would lead back to them? So, fortunately, the police continued digging into this, and they eventually discovered the truth. The messages were coming from Barbara. She was leaving these messages herself. Okay, are you following this? Woman goes to the police, says, I've got harassing messages. I know who's doing it. They traced it, and it was her who was leaving these messages for herself. So the police said, why did you do this?
The big question.
Why did you do this? And she kept saying very weird things like, don't believe her, I'm a liar. We are not schizophrenic. And instead of giving a real answer, you know, she kept on reiterating that she thought that it was probably this other woman that she hates. So now this woman is, she's in the jail on a $95,000 bond, charged with two counts of tampering with evidence and fraudulent use of identifying information. Nobody knows. It's a mystery. They can't figure it out. Next story from Russia. Would you like to live forever? It makes you wonder, because what's the alternative, right?
Yeah.
Death. Gone forever. Well, of course, you know how people have been trying to cryogenically preserve brains and stuff for a long time, but this is weird. A Russian mogul says that he thinks that we can have complete cybernetic immortality for humans in the next 33 years. He's pulled together a team that is going to create fully functional holographic human avatars. And those human avatars are going to contain a robotic copy of the brain interface that can instantly be transplanted from the brain into the hologram at the moment of death. See, here's my problem with this. I don't know that that's going to make me stay alive forever. What if he's just copy? I mean, you can make a copy of me, But isn't that more like a clone?
That gets into, like, if your soul is going to be transported, if, I mean, are, you're still physically going to die.
Yeah.
Well, that's always been my question about teleportation. We know that there will come a day when they're going to be able to take a human, because they've already done this on a smaller scale, break that human's molecular structure down and everything that we can measure and reproduce it over here. And what comes out the other side may say, oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah, it's Joshua. Yeah. But how are you, as an outside observer, ever going to know that that thing that thinks it's that thing, that thinks it's the original thing, that has the original thing's memories, et cetera, really is the original thing? Maybe people just don't care. But I care. Yes, we're going to be able to copy that information, but I don't know how. I think this is a philosophical issue, and I don't see how that could ever be solved. But that said, time for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some about Scientology. I have some interesting stuff to play for you. I think you're going to find this entertaining. I have a story about a teddy bear invasion. Story from North Carolina. Oh, and a guy who's created an exact full-to-scale replica of Noah's Ark, and it actually floats, and it's amazing. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.